We can go out and dance like we... Are we on?
We are.
Okay, sorry. I've got to make the call. Got to make a quick phone call before we start.
Hello. Thank you for calling AFL House.
No worries.
For AFL membership inquiries, please press 1.
Not the one I wanted.
For play AFL inquiries, please press 2.
No, sound less excited.
For Medallion Club inquiries,
no.
Please press 3.
No.
For all other inquiries,
AFL Grand Final tickets.
Visit our website.
AFL Grand Final
tickets. www.afl.com.au.
Oh, give me the tickets now!
To general at afl.com.au.
Maybe it's too early to get Grand Final tickets. Could it be?
You wouldn't have thought so, would you?
It's round zero. We're only 26 weeks away. That's bullshit, AFL. I just want my tickets now after what the Blues did. We've got to find someone to get tickets.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Dan Knows Footy Podcast. You can find more of Dan Knows Footy on the website, Spotify, YouTube, and social media. Good job. See ya.
I was anxious as a kid, and I was like, where are they? Kick him harder. Kick him all harder. Punch him in the face. I'm bloody horizontally challenged, if you get what I mean. Boner. I got proud today. Should we say this is the line? If you don't hear the next bit, it's over the line.
We're back. Footy's back. How good. Lids are off already. They were very much on for a half of football, but they are officially back off for season 2024. I've lost my voice. I've got a hemorrhoid. You passed your drug test. You're back. How was your weekend, you big rosé chicken wing guy?
Look, I just feel this is a really momentous moment for us. It's episode 6. As you quite rightly said, I've been having rosé chicken wings. The footy's back. You We're lost back. Your voice.
Lost it's my just voice.
Like, what a moment for us all.
Hello, footy. We meet again. It's been a while for poor old Brisbane.
How was it? Just talk to me. Talk to me.
Man, it was like I was outside my body.
Yeah.
On top of the Gabba, looking at me floating over this. It's probably the best night of my life. Oh, shoulder, still sore. It was the best night of my life. I was copping it for the first half of footy. All the Brizzy fans, there was a cheer squad. There was someone in the cheer squad that was very aggressive to me. Very aggressive.
Was it the 6-year-old boy that I saw on that video?
No, he was very cute. He was very cute. The guy in the cheer squad was super aggressive.
Right.
And he was looking up at me, just yelling. I had people saying, not too late to catch the 10:30 flight home. Long way to come to see the Blues lose. Oh, don't worry, you still beat West Coast and North. And when they came back, it was just a big wave off to them all. See you later, see you later. And then it got very aggressive in the comments. People got very aggressive. Oh. But that's great. You know, we love that. We love it. And I give it out. I take as much as I can. But it's good to have footy back. How good was the footy? It was so good. I did fly up to Brizzy, as we all obviously know now. I want to pick a bone right now. Plane etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
The seats back thing, we know that it's over. If it's the flight's over 2.5 hours, your seat can go back. Anything less, keep it upright. Mm-hmm. I got a middle seat. If I'm in the middle, I get the two armrests. You two have to go out.
Yeah.
Agree or not?
I think someone of your size, that's a very fair enough assumption.
Mate, I was stuck in the middle with zero armrest. These two leant in. I was like, fuck off.
So would you sort of look like a choir boy?
Just I look like, and yeah. I try to do work on here, like get ready for the weekend, and my laptop was literally inside my nose trying to do that. And they could see it and gave me nothing.
They
knew. I don't want to blame, you know, Virgin, because it's not their fault, but they have to screen people on etiquette on these flights. I refuse to fly with Virgin again based on that. That's a lie. I will fly Virgin.
Do you want
again.
Me to cut that?
No, keep it in. Sportsbet app was so funny. That came out.
Oh,
that was great. That's probably the best thing I've ever done in terms of like just funny. Like when you feel like normally when you film stuff or I film stuff, I'm like, oh, I don't think that's like super funny. But during the Sportsbet stuff, doing it, I was like, as immediately when Ed Curnow had nipple rings in, I was like, this is just a home run.
This is
going to be so good.
The two things I took away from that one. How much you look like Tommy Lee when he was with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
That blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
That freaked me out.
Yeah.
And Cornsey's Port Adelaide ring. Where can we get them?
That was a 3D. Someone 3D made that, didn't they? Yeah.
That is insane. I would do anything for a St Kilda one.
Chris Wardrobe made it. I want a Carlton one. I might message her and get a Carlton one.
It's
unreal. It was unbelievable. So as you might tell, guys, I have lost my voice. I also have a hemorrhoid. I might be the first person ever in the history of football to leave the football ground with a hemorrhoid. I've got to see someone. This is getting beyond a joke now.
I don't think you would be the first, to be honest. I saw a few of those Carlton fans.
Oh, yeah, there'd be a lot of hemorrhoids.
That was a rough trip home for everyone.
It was, yeah. It was a rough trip sitting on the hemorrhoid for
you gotta get the train.
2 hours.
Stand up.
Yeah, I know. I might stand up at games from now on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something. But I do have a hemorrhoid from yelling too much, which is just unbelievable scenes. Normally you get a hemorrhoid from doing weights or just stress. To be fair, I was stressed for half a football. And we'll talk about it a bit later, but weird stadium injuries. I know someone who during the Melbourne Carlton final did an ACL. At the game.
In the crowd?
In the crowd.
That's worse than Quidditch. 100%. No, that's way worse.
You reckon?
Way worse. At least I was exerting myself. I was, you know.
Tell everyone what level you made on the Harry Potter game.
Well, I learnt the Cruciatus Curse, and I'm a Hufflepuff, so I don't need to tell you twice that that's pretty unforeseen stuff. That never happens.
There was a lot of stuff coming through on the comments saying that people saw you.
Where was I this weekend?
That you were at Kittens with Dusty.
Well, that might have happened.
That might have happened.
Yeah, that could be true.
You're wearing a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, again, that could be true. That could be true. That could 100% be true.
That could be true. Opening round. Do we think it worked? Do we like it or not?
I tell you what, on Thursday night when I sat down and turned the footy on, it was working for me. I thought, it's fine. I really don't mind. But come, I want to say 10 a.m., 11 a.m. on the Sunday when there was nothing on.
Yeah.
And you know that next Sunday, the traditional opening of the, you know, opening round, I thought, well, this is just ridiculous.
Didn't give you nothing. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was good to have footy back, but if we're going to do opening round, let's do all the games. Mm-hmm. You know, let's play. If you want to play them in Brizzy and Sydney, go do that. I don't care, but let's play everyone. You can't have all these buys.
No.
It didn't work. I don't think the viewership went up. The fan engagement, I reckon there was still seats at the Collingwood game for sure that I could see on TV.
Yeah.
Not a pass mark for mine at all.
No. I think you got to remember as well that we love footy even when our teams aren't playing. And you're lucky you've got a few teams that you can go for, so that's good. But
well, I have two.
Yeah. And, you know, as a St Kilda fan, like obviously we weren't playing, but I love footy so much that I'm okay. But so many fans out there are just sitting around going, I'm not that interested, you know?
Well, it would have been a good week for you because you'd be happy the Saints didn't lose.
Yeah, but we're on fire.
You have Collingwood this week, don't you?
No, we got Geelong.
Geelong. Oh.
First home game's Collingwood round two.
Oh, that's right. When your big performance.
Yeah.
We asked everyone what their thoughts were from takeaways and feelings from opening round. And let's read a few of these out. I did have these in the run sheet, but the run sheet didn't save. So now I have to go back and do this. Would have had more of an impact than Mr. Cox? That's fair enough. What the fuck is opening round by Preston BC? Sam Gordon. Melbourne people hate it. And got to see the Baggers win live. And sad Lions fans, that's fine. Again, the Deej, only weekend that I won't be disappointed to be an Eagles supporter. Nah, that's a lie. Still feels like a pracky match without the amount of games played. That's fair enough. Terrible, not enough footy. I don't care if you have it out of Vic. Just play all the damn teams. That's fair enough. So look, don't do it again next year. Mm-hmm. It's near AFLX territory of how bad it was. I don't know. At least most of the players played in that.
Yeah, that's true. We were one rule change away from the Zupa Dupa Lights. You know, coming up on the goalpost, maybe really.
True. Also, I'm so sorry. I just remember this randomly. Nothing to do with anything that we've said so far. Goal line technology.
Okay.
Can we put a fucking camera on the point post looking in towards the goalpost? Because when someone touches it, goalpost, in between goalpost and point post, they look at the opposite goalpost.
Ridiculous.
Just put a camera in the point post and you make things so much easier for yourselves.
You've got a big issue on your hand when there's more technology in AFL Live, the PlayStation game, as opposed to in real life in the sport.
Actually,
that's an issue.
If I'm coming up with these ideas and I'm dumb, surely someone in the AFL goes, hey, put a security camera on there that you get from Bunnings, $100, and just sticky tape it to there and you can go back and watch it live.
Well, when we were in Adelaide for Gather Round, I mean, we could certainly try that at possibly Norwood or Mount Barker.
Surely we've got to do this. It's not hard. Cameras aren't expensive. I'll go buy some cameras for the AFL if they want. I've almost had it with the AFL. I tell you what, I love it, but seriously, you are pushing me, and it's not because of the hemorrhoid. Doc, oh.
It's okay.
Why is this game so cruel?
It's okay.
Why do good things... No, why do bad things happen to good people? Mm-hmm. Is what I say. He does a third ACL. This game's so fucked. And how he did it as well is just like... How do you... Someone just... A move and a tackle that would happen so many times over preseason, he got tackled to the ground and did an ACL.
Yeah. And we just had him on.
We had him
and
on.
And he felt so ready for the year, didn't he?
Are we cursed? Is it us?
Leggy was all right, wasn't he?
I don't know. Someone said Leggy. That's the reason why we're not going to have any guests this week. Yeah. We need everyone to get through a clean bill of health before we get anyone back in here. Oh. This place might be cursed. It was so fucked. It was just like cruel, cruel, cruel. And how about the absolute dog in him to be like, strap it up, boys. Yeah. I'm going again out there for a quarter.
Admittedly, when he went off, I messaged you because you couldn't see obviously from the stands. I said,
no, yes,
like,
you had
he
to tell
should
me.
Be back out. Like he's coming, like he sort of lightly jogged off, you know, strapped up.
It's so cruel. This game's so mean. And I feel obviously we all do. And regardless if you even go for the Blues or not, yeah. I think everyone has now a soft spot for Doc and his story. So he goes again, a third ACL. It's just unbelievable. The one thing I do know about Doc is that he won't let it be the end of him this. This is, he wants to end on his terms. There's no
okay,
way.
Okay, let's just have a moment. He sat in that chair over there not two, 3 weeks ago and said that he was doing an 8 kilometre run while he was doing chemotherapy. Mm, you yeah. reckon another ACL is going to stop him?
Nothing.
Absolutely not.
Nothing, nothing. So it's crazy. I was with him Saturday night.
How was he?
He was good. He was really good considering. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those ones, not that I've done an ACL, but I think once you've done your third, it's not really the fear of if I'll get back, because he knows he'll get back to playing. It's just that this year could be anything for the Blues. Like after they did that with, you know, some big names out, Wiedering, Walsh, Doc for a half, I think now having to sit back and feel like I should be part of this and seeing whatever's going to evolve happen, I think that'll be the hardest part for him. So I don't know. I just know that he's not going to go out like this. He won't let that define him, that last bit. You know, an ACL, a third ACL. So thoughts are with you, Doc. Everyone at DDF, we're right behind you, mate. We've no doubt you'll come back. Wonder if we can do something for him in the game. I don't want to be enough and be like, get everyone to stand and clap for the 15-minute mark, but because he's not dead.
You don't want to do that?
I would love that, but he's not dead. Like, I think that's very much if someone passes.
Well, I loved what you did on Instagram where you put your lid out. Front. Mm. Do all Carlton fans just bring a miscellaneous lid
bring
to the
a lid.
Game?
I think at the 15-minute mark, we have to do something. Maybe at the 15-minute mark, like Vossi subs me in or something like that.
I'm just spitballing.
Yeah. Like, or maybe I start for the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And Vossi makes a decision from there. Like, do we take him out because he's kicked three or do we like...
The start of each 15 minutes of the four quarters.
Maybe I just play for the Blues.
Yeah.
And every 15 minutes I start on the ground.
Yeah. I don't see why not.
I think maybe I get the number 15 and take Doc's spot for the year until he comes back. Because Doc would love that. I think Doc would appreciate me doing that.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
He would. And when it's contract time, they're like, either we can take Doc or Goz. Yeah. I think Doc would be like, no, keep Goz.
And how long has he got on his contract?
2 years. 2 years.
Yeah, so he, let's just say he retires at the end of this year and you just get the remaining 2 years. Is that what you're thinking?
Look, I'm happy to take that contract on. Yeah. That's fine.
For him.
I think Doc would appreciate that. Mason Cox has lost his damn mind. Mason Cox is, what was he doing? What was he? He's now got to please explain. The funniest thing about this is it's such something that we do is that Mason put a story up saying, I'll explain all on my podcast. And the AFL has gone, no, you fucking won't. You'll tell us right now and take that story down. AFL reportedly issues Mason Cox a please explain after bizarre pregame act. Cox, minutes before the first bounce, was seen briefly pushing Mumford in the back of the Giants' ruck before grabbing the ball and running away with it. So weird. So my insider knowledge goes, you have 5 minutes before the game to do pre-game centre bounce stuff. Sorry about that. That's my phone. Sam Doherty, you can take 15. I heard you, okay? You have five minutes before the game starts in the centre bounce to go through all your patterns and your running drills and hit a forward, each team. I have never, ever seen two teams cross over like that. So I don't know who's in the wrong here because normally what happens is you do your five, you clear out, other team comes in.
I've got a memory of Patrick Dangerfield going up to the opposite team's huddle, possibly when he was with Geelong but playing against Adelaide.
Yeah.
And I remember him sort of got, like, pretending he was listening to the game plan. That's the only thing that I can think of that was...
Do you reckon he thought he was Dermy for a bit? He could just... You reckon he thought he turned into Dermy? I think Mason turned into Dermy for a bit. So, I mean, Mason, if you want to talk the talk, you've got to be able to walk the walk, you know? Like, he threw a lot of chat out there. Livestock Stadium, more like bloody Laughing Stock Stadium. For petting zoo.
That was good, by the way.
That was very good.
They set up. That was very
good. The Giants talked a lot, but at least they walked it. You just can't in this. I love the banter. I love a bit of, you know, a bit of venom now. You know, venom. Yeah. Love venom. I love the personality the AFL is trying to bring in with players and letting them speak a little bit. So I like that bit, but you just got to back it up.
For the first time in our short relationship, I'm going to disagree with you
on
something. I don't like the term. If you're going to behave this way, then you've got to back it up with a good performance. So you're essentially saying you can be an absolute tosser, but as long as you then back it up on the field, then we'll excuse all behaviour. I just think it's funny. Like, I just think, bad player or not, it's like...
Yeah.
So that's just like, you know, imagine if you're back at school and, you know, you can, you know, put whoopee cushions under the teacher's chair, you know, real classic stuff. But if you get an A, then that, you know, on your assignment, then that's absolutely fine.
I don't know. Look, I think it's funny. I just think it helps. Actually, you know what? I'm semi with you. I don't care what you do, but I think if you at least talk that much, then you got to do something out there. Mm. You can't not do anything. So whether he doesn't have to kill it. He doesn't have to kick 3, 4, 5, but you got to have more than 5 touches.
That's true.
You just do. Like, I've been out there and I have never had no touches for a half. Like, that's actually pretty hard. When you're playing ruck, Mason, just grab it. You're 6'4", you know? Just grab it and hand pass it out the way. There was this tweet that someone said, Mason's first half versus the Giants and had like 4 flames. 0 marks, 0 touches, 0 tackles, 0 goals, 0 meters gained, 1 free against, 47.58 of cardio.
That's bad.
So funny. So Mason, he'll bounce back. Oh, actually, I don't know if he will. He'll play. Will he play this week? Does he get dropped?
Well, hang on. The other thing is, what the hell's a please explain? That's very vague. That's not a punishment. It's not a fine. It's not a – it's just a what? Like,
I wonder what the AFL wants. I wonder if they're thinking that if that had spilled over – because Mummy, we know he loves sausages.
That's true.
So I wonder if that spilled over, if the AFL had been like, mate, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Or they just want to know what happened.
Well, I just would like to know what a please explain means. If it does, if he doesn't explain it well enough,
yeah, it's like no, is that thank not you.
Not good enough? Like, I'll be very interested to see what happens there.
Let him play. These are yours. Oh no, that's in the wrong spot. I put that in the wrong spot. That's okay. Don't stress. Collingwood fans in general, though, they just don't take shit from anyone on social media. Come on, they're easy targets. It's like shooting fish in a barrel with the Collingwood fans.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. It's so easy. You can say anything and they just lose their fucking minds. So crazy.
You must just test it and sit there and go, I say this.
I don't want to say I have a lot of hobbies, but baiting some Collingwood fans is quickly rising the ladder of favourite things to do behind watching Carlton win a game and just drinking beers in general. My comment, here we go, yeah. This is a good point by Brendan Mosk. So I left a comment on the AFL post about Mason saying, leave him alone, doesn't have to explain why he didn't touch the ball for a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously a lot of these Collingwood fans abuse me. And that's like, it is what it is, you know, I don't mind. And Brendan Mosk said, out of interest, does being a premiership player allow him to have garbage games without any accountability from now on? Whether you like what Gorringer said here or not, Cox needs to feel the pressure after that game. Had a shocker. Mm-hmm. Which is fair enough. Because people were saying, oh, he's won a flag, he's won a premiership, done more than you. So... So the same for Billy Frampton.
That's true.
Good, like that. The argument doesn't really exist at all. Harry Mackay is back. Oh, Harry Mackay. Good to see you again, Harry. Just fixed up completely. I was on pre-game goal watch for Harry and he was nailing him.
Really?
Yeah, nailing him.
Thank goodness. But it's so funny. We spoke about on the last podcast how I can't help it. I firmly believe in storylines in sport.
You do.
Like him to kick the winning goal in the first game, it was just like that just made sense. But seeing him line up, you'd just be thinking.
It was crazy. Like, if that game was at the ground would be shaking. No, shaking. That's him in a Giant song. So he's back and no wonder, I think he's now back because of, I want to tell a story about Harry's goal kicking or the Blues goal kicking in general as to why things might have been shaky for the last couple of seasons. So under Teague, they must have had a game, and this has come across my desk, guys. They must have had a game where things weren't going well and they were missing targets and particularly missing goals. So the week after this game during training, Teague has said, "Righto, boys, I need to put you in a situation where you feel the pressure of goal kicking, you know." And normally what that would mean is they go out and do goal kicking and they put a loud crowd in the speakers. But Teague would make them, or did make them, do some cardio in the pool, get out of the pool, run to the locker room, put their boots on, run out, not dry off yet, run out, kick a goal, and do it over and over again. No wonder Harry had fucking PTSD in front of goals, because he's worried about drowning every time he misses.
That's insane. That can't be true.
Crazy.
So what? Crazy. What, swim 50 metres, do a lap?
It must have been something. They must have had like bikes in the pool or swim laps. Get out, put your boots back on and kick goals. There were players who were doing this stuff in the pool with full kits on, boots and all. How crazy is that?
Are they putting socks on? Because you're getting blisters as well, literally. I'm assuming.
I just don't know in what world trying to drown the players and then going kick a goal makes him actually – that's not a routine. Imagine Harry marking a ball and going, "I would love to kick this ball. I've got 30 seconds. Where's the nearest pool?"
They don't play in Tassie ever, do they?
Yeah, where's the nearest pool? I can't kick this goal. I've got to go do some cardio in the pool. Crazy. So he's got that out of his system. He's over that. And now he's back because he's put that in the past. He's obviously seen someone to get over it, and it's all over now. Speaking of pools while we're here, I remember one day – I was playing reserves to the Gold Coast, which was rare to play for them. And we were playing Broadbeach. And at halftime, we'd go in. I think we were up by literally 10 goals against Broadbeach, this poor team. And the team full of 18-year-olds who were high draft picks, just going to town on like these blokes who didn't want to be there. So we go into halftime, get a spray. We go back out to our positions. I'm at full forward. I'm looking around. I'm going, okay, there's only five of us here. I swear Nathan Ablett was playing in this game. And I swear he was starting at half forward. I'm yelling out to the bench like, Where's Nathan? The bench goes, no idea. Anyway, end of the game, I was like, hey, after the halftime break, we noticed Nathan didn't come back. He came on like real later. Where was he? They reckon Nathan Ablett had jumped the fence and was swimming laps in the pool.
You are taking the piss, aren't you?
I am not. Nathan Ablett, instead of going back out the second half, decided to jump the fence next door into the school and start doing a few laps.
In the school?
Like an active recovery. Just refused to come back out.
Was he – so where was he at that time within Gold Coast? Like, was he playing at all?
He was Gary's brother.
Yeah, no, I know who he was. Yeah. But, like, was he coming back from injury?
He was just fully fit. Just decided that he wanted to have a swim.
He was bored.
Just bored. Essentially bored. Essentially bored. Well, you should wait till you hear my fucking vault story.
There's your culture.
That's a real one to keep in the family this week, this episode. Let's get into it. Let's dissect this. The review, Sydney-Melbourne, Sydney by 22 points. Oh, just quickly, I had a horrible week of tipping. Absolute stinker, and you let me know about it. And I need you guys to hold me accountable because if I can't hold you accountable, the standards I walk past are the standards I accept.
Mm-hmm. How'd you go? Talk to me.
I went 1-4.
Oh, what?
Did I?
Because it was such an easy
round. Gold
Coast.
Oh, okay, what did you pick?
I got all four.
No, you did
yes,
not. That's
I
such
did.
A fucking lie. When?
What do you mean when? This week.
Okay, well, makes sense. Actually pick Sydney over Melbourne?
Absolutely.
Listen to it back. Well, they did win by 22 points. The Demons have some forward demons. I don't know that much. The only demons I get is on a Sunday morning after a big night. I get the bloody Melbourne Demons, if you know what I'm talking about. Their forward line is weak. They've got nothing up there. Literally nothing. I mean, okay, people can say, oh, Bailey's up there. Who else? Van Rooyen kicked a goal outside out of his anus. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, nothing.
Just stuff to do.
They need to fix it up, Ace. I don't know what they do. They're not going to fix it this year. They don't have anyone on their list that could do it. But you're not bringing Ben Brown back to be your anchor, surely.
You might have to. But he'd still be good for a goal a game, though, which is, you know.
But he needs everything out there.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
that's
he's
true.
Cooked, you know?
Yeah.
He needs everything on a lead for people. I forgot people can't see that. He needs everything on a lead. So I don't know if you bring him back.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he'd be much better than Van Rooyen.
And do we know when Pickett's back?
I think he's back this week.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. For the real round one. He's back this week. So that'll help.
Yeah.
But again, he rubs himself out every month.
Yeah.
Because he can't help taking blokes out.
Yeah.
They need to fix it ASAP. I don't know what they do. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, they get petty, but is he really going to be a forward? Tom McDonald, do we think Tom McDonald's going to come back?
Let's not forget, we were just talking about last week, you know, the reigning premiers. They don't have a forward line.
No.
So...
No, but I did watch Majacek this week and thought, okay, you're very good.
Yeah.
He's very good, mate. Yeah. He's so underrated and he's so strong. He's built like a genuine brick shit house.
Oh, massive.
Like, he's massive. And quick. I didn't realize that quick. I do have to apologize to Grundy. We saw the vintage. And I don't want the Sydney fans to thank me for it because that's not why I did it. But you are welcome. Very vintage and getting paid by two clubs. Just a great man. What a performance. He wound it back. My only thing now is do it again.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for him to wind himself up against Max and the Demons and do that at home. Let's do it again now.
It was so funny. I was really, really consciously watching, thinking about everything that you said about him that you missed. He did tick everything off. He was going back into the D50 taking marks. He was going forwards. He was picking the ball.
He was very good.
Like, he was
very
fantastic.
Good. He looked fresh. He looked very fresh. And I want him to be good. I love that. I put my hand up. I say, hey, maybe I'm getting this one wrong, but I want to see it again and again.
Yeah,
I'm not making outlandish calls. We're not SEN here. We don't just say shit for the sake of saying shit. We watch it unfold, and then I start saying shit. But let's just see if he keeps doing it. Slippery footy up there. I told you that football up there in those states, Queensland. And
so it's the same, would you say?
I reckon.
Yeah, right.
It was noticeable though on TV. Like Melbourne just couldn't get a hold of it.
Big time.
Couldn't get clean hands on it and link up where Sydney knew what they were doing.
Having said that, there was I can't remember who the boundary rider was for that game. Was it Abby Holmes, maybe?
I can't remember.
But in the third quarter, I think she said, like, we've been far too generous. It's actually fine down here at ground level.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe that was just them getting the rust out. Could have been a rust. I mean, it wasn't even a proper round, so it was still an extended preseason for them. So maybe it was right. It looked like they just could not control the ball, and Sydney played the conditions so well, so well. Blake House from Melbourne is very good. I'm going to call it early. Look out for him for a rising star, dark horse.
Ooh.
He was unbelievable down back. I think he had 12 intercept disposals.
Yeah.
Very good. Looked at home.
What's your what are your categories for players? Because I've heard you say very good as like a bit of a statement now. So is it no good, good, very good, and then what's like?
I think I'll use superstar as like your top tier.
Yep.
Good, very good as like under that.
Okay.
Good, and then shit.
And then shit. So it goes from good to shit.
Yeah, there's no in between.
There's no in between.
No. So he was very good. He was very, very good. And Sydney at home this year will be, they'll be hard to beat at home. They'll be like a Brisbane were last year, I think. I don't know if anyone can, I'm sure a team will, but it'd be super hard to beat them at home.
Well, the Giants, I reckon they could.
Well, I can't argue with that because they won.
Yep, exactly.
And they do share the same state.
Yep.
So what under Sydney? Sydney get off to a flyer. I want to see them do it outside of Sydney. And then we'll start making some decisions on them. Carlton v. Brizzy. Just the best night of my life. And I got married a couple months ago. Just a Carlton by a point. 46 points down. Let me just dissect how crazy this is. No Wiedering, no Walsh, no Doherty for a half. You're 46 points down. And you say, guys, no worries. Have a couple of dogs. The game turned. The second half of the second quarter, that's when it started turning. And then the third quarter was like, have one on the chin. Punched him on the chin.
What changed, do you think, though? Well, did Vossi change anything in
just
the setup?
Just got back to work. So Carlton don't want an open, free-flowing game. They hate that. They want to be a track meet. They want stoppage. We'll beat you up in the stoppage and we'll go from there and set up.
Yep.
All of Carlton is based on real strong defensive efforts. And then they go from there. They methodically build it up. They don't want just open stoppages, open play. They can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened. They just got to work. Cripper started getting to work. They just went and did what they know works. And Brisbane just stopped. Brisbane honestly stopped.
Yeah.
I think there was a point where Charlie had a set shot 15 in front to put him 52 points up and missed it.
Charlie of all people too.
I know.
Actually, do you remember from that game when Charlie kicked his first goal and they played Country Road on?
Mm.
And I think they bounced the ball, but the song was still playing.
Oh, really?
And they had to stop it and go, we'll wait for the song.
We'll have to stop.
We'll have to wait for the song to end because it's so good.
Those songs are very, even I found myself singing. It was very cool. Wish I had a song.
What would it be?
ass and titties. Bounce. That's not part of the song. I just make that bit up. And so that was 46 points was great. The Brisbane fans saying, oh, the umpires turned this. Shut up. The umpires did not give you a 46-point deficit. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys stopped completely. Maybe there's a couple decisions here or there, but there's no way the umpires influence an 8-goal game like that. An 8-goal turnaround.
Were these fans, that you were hearing, or this is the commentary online that you were saying?
Oh, mate, that 5-year-old in my ear was just chirping. Yeah. He was lucky I didn't throw him on back.
He wasn't chirping at the end when you put that video up. He wasn't chirping,
and I was into him. I was like, you go to kindergarten, you little shit. Shut up. Sit down. His dad was like, whoa, he's just a kid. I was like, who the fuck are you? And then I just threw him off level one.
Yeah.
The dad, that is. I didn't throw the kid. I would never throw a kid.
No. With your words, you did, though.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm your dad now. He's like, what? And I had to go talk. I got asked to leave. Kane's comments on the back of Carlton supporting Harry. So Charlie said after the game, it was good to, you know, Harry kicks it and he shuts the media up. I think Nick Newman said something similar. And then Kane has come back and said, oh, well done. He's doing his job. Kane, stop. And the media in general, stop making stuff about you, media. Do your job. You report, then you move on. Don't make it personal. We don't want you to be involved in this. Just be happy for him. You said something, you were right. The guy probably listened to it. He worked on it and he turned it around. You don't need to put yourself back into it. Move on. Mm. That's the biggest issue with the media at the moment. They want to create their own profiles by getting themselves involved in shit that no one wants them involved in.
Yeah. And I hate it's so unbalanced at the moment, isn't it? Because wouldn't you love to just hear, I mean, Harry's like reasonably vocal, but you just know that every time a player responds to that kind of thing, they're smashed. 100%. For being unprofessional, they need to stick to what they're doing, stick to their craft.
Yeah.
It's very unbalanced.
So unbalanced. Just the media. Let's just get over this notion of you having to place yourself in everything. You don't need to. Just tell us what's happening. Report. Give us your opinion. You don't need to come back and have a rebuttal. Just let it go. It's just so disappointing. Just especially a guy who has copped it more than anyone about goal kicking to then come back and dump it on and say, well done, he's fine. It's okay. Let it go. Let it go. Darcy Gardner playing 4-4. That's when I knew Brisbane were cooked. When I saw Darcy Gardner go to the goal square. Darcy, are you lost? Do you reckon he's done a Nath Ablett and gone to the wrong part of the ground or outside the ground? Because they asked Fags after. They said, hey, Darcy Gardner lined up at 4-4. What do you reckon? And he said, we're looking at a few different things. Fags, put your glasses back on, mate, because I could tell you that fucking sucked, that move. It sucked.
Ridiculous.
It didn't work. It pushed Danaher up, which then forced Hipwood further up to turn. It's not going to work. So please do not put Darcy Gardner full forward. Almost choked on my Stone and Wood when I saw that. Have Stone and Woods.
Stone and Wood.
The Gabba don't have Carlton's.
Okay. Well, can I just... Okay. Let's just double check on this.
I'm telling you,
Where
Ollie,
were you sitting, though?
I was on level one.
You were behind glass, weren't you?
No, I actually wasn't because Gabba Corporate doesn't really do... behind glass. You're out in the open. It's like an open affair.
There was glass there, I saw.
The big dogs, like Luke Sayers, were behind me in glass, and right. I did ask if I could come in, and he was like, very much no.
Right. So I'm just checking, maybe they were only serving Stone and Wood in your section.
The Gabba only served Stone and Wood in the corporate spit that I would be in outside, and it was an esky full of Stone and Woods. I could not tell you how sick I felt after my 8th Stone and Wood.
Oh, an esky full of Stone and Wood is maybe the most private school thing I've ever heard in my life.
It was just, I had the thumping headache for my flight the next day. Just so fruity and just make it Carlton's all round, please. But to all the stuff we're saying about the Lions and how this is not panic stations for them. There's actually no panic stations after this round for any team. And I refuse to let anyone else say that, oh, you know, Collingwood have to freak out or Brisbane have to freak out. Let's just let it go. It's fine. It's the opening round of footy. Lions will be fine. They're still going to be a top four team. They look good. The first half, they were doing everything on their own terms. Open, footy, free, you know, flowing, hitting targets, kicking goals, lighting up the G. I do have a concern about how Charlie plays, actually, now I think about it. Charlie Cameron. He is only... I don't think he leads up anymore. I think he's all back to goal. Mm-hmm. So Danaher or Hipwood wheel and go straight away, and he is bolting to goal. And I don't know how sustainable that is for a team.
It wants sense. Why would that not
be sustainable? Well, if I'm an opposition team, why would I just have a plus one?
Yeah.
and have him just anchor himself back and stop it completely. And I saw it a lot being there live. That's all he does. Up high and then bolts to goal. Mm-hmm. He saw it a few times on Saab when he did it. But we're back to the G this week. Back to the real round one for the Blues. So I'm very excited to go back there and be back with the faithful, the Blues brothers.
What's your pre-game pub of choice near the
MCG? Corner's the easy choice.
Corner. Yeah, I'm more of a London Tavern.
London Tavern. Oh, that's a fair trek though.
No.
From London to, I guess it's on the account.
Not from London.
Oh, sorry, yeah, so you're from London.
Yeah, from London Tavern.
Yeah, right. Corner's where it's at.
Yeah.
Corner's okay. Good. So we'll be there for a few frothies at 4:30, and then we'll walk in. We'll march in. I'm not going to march, actually. Richmond Suns by 39 points. You picked this, Ollie. Mm-hmm. You said fairy tales happen.
I only picked it because you thought it would, to be fair. We talked about the fact that 4:20 time slot massively suited the Gold Coast Suns. Yeah. I thought that when we were talking about Uze's playing style, that, you know, it's a go hard, go home sort of situation for them.
Mm.
And the Suns have a great list. They really
are very
do.
Good. And again, I said they look like the worst team in preseason, but they look like the best team for that first half of footy. And going back to what we said, I said they don't have a dog in them. They do have a dog. They have a massive dog in him. Matt Rao has a huge dog in him. A massive dog. His game was absolutely cooked.
Yep.
26 contested possessions.
Mm-hmm.
26 clearances? Clearances. He did. 33 touches, 26 clearances. That's so big. I mean, you can have the grossest beard in the world and eat grass all you want if you're having games like that. I don't care. Ben King kicked 5, also has a weird beard. Maybe that's their thing they're doing up there.
Weird beards.
Yeah, maybe it's a trend.
Admittedly, eating grass is one of the more dog-like behaviours you can do.
Well, you smoke it. So maybe they're all smoking grass up there now. Maybe that's what they're doing. Oh. Sada's going to come down like a ton of bricks on them. But we said we didn't know what the Suns looked like as well. Now we do. They are Dimmer, vintage Dimmer to a T.
Yep.
That forward handball at a stoppage and go, that's Richmond when they win their flags.
So I was going to say, it looks like a cookie cutter recipe that he's just taking from Richmond to them.
Got him now. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I think Dimmer knew what Richmond were going to do, really.
Yep.
And you don't spend that long and not have some kind of base to know what they're doing or what they want to move the ball or the personnel he knew inside out.
Yep.
So that was always going to be an advantage. But the Gold Coast are Dimmer's game plan. Front stoppages and hit a forward target and then try and keep it forward.
And the exciting thing is the Gold Coast Suns list is infinitely better than what he walked into with Richmond when he did. They struggled for the first, two, three, four seasons.
For sure. I think the Suns are still going to be up and down all year. I think they'll be very good at home they go away, and they're going to have their games where they get absolutely blown out the water and have no answers for it. But they're a confidence team. They're so young. You give the Suns the head start they had against Richmond, good luck catching them anywhere. Not all bad for Richmond, though. They did kick 7 in a row after getting smacked in the first half. So they'll build off that coming to the Blues. But they just got smacked in the middle of the ground. The most strength they have is in that midfield at the moment. So you're Prestia, Taranto, Hopper. Naismith was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, it is thin everywhere.
Mm.
You've got your veterans, your premiership players have been there for a long time, and then you thin out completely. So that'd be my only concern for Richmond. Bolter has to go to fullback. They can't let Tyler Young they're going to hang him out down there. If they keep Tyler Young on a poor Charlie or Harry this week, the poor bloke's going to have Harry Mackay PTSD out of the pool. Like, you can't. Yeah. Bolter has to go back.
Yep.
I think there's enough up forward. And throw Shai Bolter in the middle. They said
Ooh,
that they don't.
I like that.
Well, they said that they don't want to put him forward. Uze said he's going to be forward from now on, most of this season. He's too good. Put him in.
Yeah.
Put him in.
I love that.
Split his time. He had 8 touches on the weekend, kicked a goal. He's too good for that.
Yeah.
He's way too good to do that. They'll get back. Do we think Lynch plays? Oh, I wouldn't risk it. Why would you? He hasn't played for almost a year. He did his foot early.
It would be. It'd be a calendar year.
But I just don't know why he'd bring him back. Surely he goes to VFL.
Yeah.
You'd have to go to VFL. You wouldn't risk him.
Well, here's a genuine question. What's the difference in that sense? So if you believe he's physically ready to play 4 quarters of football at any level, then he might as well just play AFL, right?
You just don't know, though.
But you don't bring him back if his injury's not, you know.
I guess, but we're round one.
Yeah.
It's not panic stations at all.
No.
You get 60 minutes of game time into him and then bring him back for round 3 and let him go.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you'd want to do is bring him back underdone, he's doing the new movements of game, because he can train it, but there's nothing like being in a game.
Totally.
The movements are so different. The intuition to press off certain parts of your body, the body hits in general, you don't get that in training.
Yeah.
So let him do it in the VFL for 60 minutes and then bring him back round two.
Well, when's he by? Round three?
Well, Richmond don't have a bye for like round 7 or 8, I think.
Yeah, okay.
If I was at Richmond right now, strength and conditioning, I say give him 60 in the VFL.
Yeah.
Let him go press off his foot. Let him go get back some touch. Yep. Read the ball well. Come with some confidence. Because internally, Lynch should be saying, I'm confident I'm fit enough, but does my body hold up?
Yeah, totally.
At this point. Martin, you think, comes back. Nank. And Jack Graham didn't play. I noticed that. He must be pretty flat about not being the captain. That's why he didn't rock up to the ground.
He heard what you had to say.
He knows.
Cos is absolutely right. Sorry,
he's talking to the Adelaide teams about a contract for next year. Giants got the better of Collingwood. The banter pre-game in the petting zoo was so funny. So funny. I think we all appreciated that. And if you're going to trash talk, like we said, you got to be prepared to come back, cop what's coming your way.
Yeah.
And I think the Giants are prepared. The Giants will take anything so well. Oh. If they came back their way, they'll cop it well. Mason v. Mummy AFL Fight Night. Bring that in. How good would that be? If he's not playing, just set that fight up at the end, in the back end. That didn't look like Collingwood at all, that game. At all. Nothing like a Collingwood game plan.
Yeah. So I'm still on that fight idea. That's just...
Yeah, Mason v. Mummy.
It wouldn't end well.
Mason would get his shit mixed so quickly.
It'd just be...
Mummy would annihilate him. Mummy's so big.
I can't really think of anyone inside the AFL system, either currently or has just left, that... No.
You're looking at him, mate?
No.
You're looking at him. Bloody this guy right here. I reckon I could.
How long going to ring? Seriously.
Would he last?
No.
Depends how long I want him to last.
You'd toy with him, would you?
I'd put a few jabs on his chin, just like a warning shot, and then just a haymaker.
Yeah. So you wouldn't just run?
I'd go next. Me? No, I'd attack him hard. Giants, yeah, that didn't look like Collingwood at all. At all. I don't know. I think they just hung over still. Probably got a bigger hangover than Fev did in 2009 post Brownlow night. They didn't look good, and they probably didn't care. Like, really, Collingwood don't care at all about this. They won't care about the first 3-4 games this season. Get a little soldiers back out there. Get your rust out. Go again. They've had the shorter preseason than anyone.
Yeah.
So let's just cut them some slack. Well, the Giants have shown a blueprint on how to take them apart. Mm-hmm. If you take away Collingwood's forward 50 pressure, there is no layers behind that. They're not set up defensively after that forward 50. Mm. And it looked like that watching the game.
Yeah.
Speaking of songs... Callum Brown, his goal song is so good. Do you know what it is?
No.
It's the GTA taxi song. So this is what plays when he kicks a goal. Charlie Cameron obviously has Take Me Home. Callum Brown has this. Imagine listening to that 5 times at the ground. Like, what is happening? That's all time.
How long do they play it for?
I think it's like 30 seconds.
That is epic.
Crazy.
You know what would be even better if you're going to go down the GTA route? The Mission Past music?
That would be cool.
Ding.
I used to love GTA. Just driving like normally in the streets.
Yeah.
Adhering to the rules of the law.
That's so true.
Bumping into someone and just letting them go to town on you. I'm not going to pull my gun out. Well, on the Giants, they won. Pies, they'll bounce back this week. They're going home this week. The flag gets unveiled. They'll be fine. This week, let's talk about who needs a whizzy. Who needs Woodger to come into the rooms and say, boys, grab my hands and get prepared for your feet to leave the ground. And I'm gonna put you back in line. I think Mason needs a whizzy.
Yeah.
Needs a big whizzy.
Well, before I suggest my player, can I just ask, what did it make you feel like when you did a whizzy with Woodger? Because, like, is it elation? Does it give you confidence? Was it wasn't romantic? You've squashed that rumour, that's fine. But was it, like, what will be the outcome if you do it with Mason? Like, will he just feel $1 million? Will he feel...
I think it's like just a sense of realisation of where you're at.
Okay.
You know, when your feet leave the air and another male is spinning you around, there's nothing more sombering. There's nothing more. It's like a reality check, really.
Right. Okay.
Of where you're at. Because you're doing so many 360s and you're just like, when you stop, you're like, where am I? What am I doing in my life? Mm-hmm. Am I the person I want to be? Am I good enough?
Mm.
That's what you think about. So I think Mason would get a big whizzy and he'd be like, I'm better than that. I'm way better than pushing old mummy.
See, my initial instinct was I was going to give it to Harry Mackay as almost like a reward. Like,
you can do that.
So it's also a good thing, right?
If you want to, you can. Yeah, yeah, okay. You can preface how you want your whizzies.
Okay.
So you're giving him a reward whizzy.
A reward whizzy. Yeah. And you're giving Mason a reality check.
Whizzy. It's a naughty whizzy.
Naughty whizzy.
It's by his feet. He's upside down.
By his head.
I'm doing a whizzy by his head. Stop doing this. Yeah, he gets a whizzy by his head.
Yeah.
Oh, phone's ringing. Hello. Have I told them to follow and subscribe? I just assume that they'd know to do that already, don't they? Like, it's a podcast. I think everyone does that. Oh, they only follow the podcast they like. Okay. I'll tell them right now. Guys, that was just a phone call from the podcast president, and he said that you have to follow and subscribe Dan Does Footy. Please do that right now. When you do that, we get to make an amazing show for you. We'll grow this thing to be as big as we can. We're going to take over all the other sporting networks, podcasts, platforms, radio stations, whatever it is, but we need you to be part of it and join us to help us do that. So please follow and subscribe on whatever service you're on. Thank you. Okay, our vault story. This is my favorite vault story. I was losing. Actually, I'm not saying it's my favorite. It's one of my favorites. We're back at the Ablett family. Just because it's just a good story. So Gold Coast preseason, super hot up there. You go train, shower, you come back and have your lunch. Mm-hmm. It's super hot. You don't know where you are most of the time. Anyway, we just trained.
You've had your maggot
protein. Slushy. You walk from the stadium to the demountables because obviously the club rooms weren't built.
Yep.
So you walk from stadium, then you walk past the gym, then you walk past the lunch hall. Mm-hmm. One day after a hot preseason, like 40 degrees, hot preseason session, I go from the stadium, I walk past the gym. I look in the gym and who do I see? Gary Ablett Sr. Wow. I was like, wow, this is so cool. That's Gary Ablett Sr. What's on his head? Our foil hat. Doing bicep curls like you wouldn't believe, just in front of the mirror. I walk into the lunchroom, I'm going, boys, I know it's hot and I might be delirious, but is that Gary Ablett Sr. with an Alpha hat on doing bicep curls in the gym? Sure enough, he was doing that in the gym.
When you say a hat, did he, so he fashioned it into what's like a pirate hat kind
mate,
of?
It was like a...
Or a beanie almost. Like was,
or, yeah, like a sort of like your shape without the brim.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, you've got like a cap without the actual brim.
Yeah, I know.
It was like that. So he'd made somehow an alfoy hat and started doing bicep curls in the gym. That was my first ever interaction with Gary Ablett Sr. Because I was very much the same. I was like, this is the greatest player that's ever played the game. I want to go shake his hand. Hold a minute. Is that a fucking alfoy hat on his hat? Like, is he doing bicep curls here with alfoy? I don't know if I'm seeing things. Is that a mirage? Like, what is happening here?
Did you ask Gary about it?
It's one of those ones where you didn't ask at all. And Gary was probably on his own preseason schedule by then because he was doing his own schedules.
And was senior wearing like Gold Coast gear?
He was in a stringlet. No, he wasn't in Gold Coast gear, but he did get a lot. He got a lot of stuff.
And he didn't want to wear it.
So with the Apple hat and Nathan swimming in the pool, I was like, where the fuck are we at as a club here? Like, what is happening here? Because as a unit, we look a bit weird at the moment, you know?
Tom Hickey's in the toilet spewing up maggots.
Yeah, maggots. We got maggots in the protein.
Yeah.
The Ablets are just doing their own thing. Gary's not even training with us. He's eating broccoli. What are we doing here?
Can I just say thank you? I don't know if you've seen a lot of the comments, but we've been after another Ablett Vault story.
Do you reckon that's a good one?
Not only a good one, could this be a moment we officially call out to the Suns to bring, you know, our foil hats in
back
as
in.
Merch?
Crazy.
With
I think
with the logo
bring
on.
In, yeah, bring it in.
How
so
good would
cool.
that be?
I'm all for it. I'd love to recreate that moment. Maybe I just go to the gym and see what it does. Maybe it's like a pre-workout for him.
Hey, something's working for him.
Oh, love that. I would give good money to go back to that moment and just be like, what is happening here? It was so good. DDF Team of the Year this year. I want to kind of build our own Team of the Year and then, like the All-Australian, I want to give them either like a jacket or an award.
Okay.
So I think we build out what it'll actually be.
Or a tin hat.
Yeah, or a tin hat. Yeah. I think we're going to build a team. Each week it rolls. We don't do like end of the season, All-Australian, oh, he's the best team. That's an opinion award. We want each round we pick a player and put them in our team.
Oh, like
and build
it.
Our team from there. And you have to put random people in. So someone who just has a shocker all year but has one good game could be in our team of the year.
Excellent.
Yeah. So this week I put on our story, play the round for you guys to vote because you guys will vote on it.
Yep.
Grundy, Big Harry, Rao, and Brent Daniels because he was very good. And you guys have picked Matt Rao to be our first member of the year.
That's
well
fair.
Done, Matty Rao. So welcome, mate. You'll be in the team. We'll put you in the midfield, I think. We'll get a graphic up there somehow. So I don't know. But Matt Rao's in our team. And we're going to pick out what these guys get for the end of the year. And we'll send it to them. And then they'll unveil it over the club rooms and hopefully put their stories and go, such a great achievement, rah, rah.
Jeez, who's thank behind you some of this content? Because this is good stuff then.
I know. DDF footy tipping. We're going to do some prizes. Okay, let's just make the prizes now off my head. First prize we're going to give, we'll go $500. First prize of the tipping. Yeah, we're going, they deserve it, mate.
Okay.
They deserve it. It's coming out of my pocket. Fuck. $500 for first.
Yeah.
$300 for second. $200 for third. And Wooden Spoon gets a genuine Wooden Spoon that we'll both sign.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Jeez, that's generous.
Yeah.
What happens if you win?
Is that a tax write-off or not?
Well.
Does the ATL listen?
You did have your...
Nah, we'll put it, when we lodge it, we'll put it as in like business development or something.
The business development. Yeah. Yep, nice.
Cool. Oh, God, ATL is going to come down on us. Monday randoms. We're just going to do some Monday randoms here. Ollie Downey, how do you have sex?
How?
Like, I know how to do it. Obviously, but like, how would you reckon you'd do it? Because I definitely,
like, I don't know, I haven't done it.
I do it a lot. I do it so much that sometimes it comes a bit blurry.
Yeah,
I definitely know there's two people involved.
Okay,
is there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just do it. Yeah, I do it the old-fashioned way. I do it. I get in there and I get the job done and I say, you know what, this is sex, and I know exactly what it is.
You say that, do you?
I say, this is good sex.
This is sex, I think is what you said.
I make him very aware. But I definitely know how to do it, 100%. Yachtman 30, pineapple on pizza, pineapple on a burger. Ooh, pineapple on a burger. Ooh. It seems a bit criminal.
No, I like it. Going back to Leggy visiting Hungry Jack's, I believe the Aussie burger had egg, pineapple, beetroot, meat, patty, cheese.
Isn't the macaws? Was that McDonald's? Hungry Jack's talking about.
Sorry, the McCoz.
Oh, sorry. Do you remember the McCoz at McDonald's?
No.
No.
Was that in Adelaide?
The McCoz?
McCoz.
Are you serious?
I've never heard of that.
The McCoz burger used to be unbelievable. Beetroot, lettuce, tomato, onion, cheddar cheese, ketchup and mustard.
Right, so it's the same burger, essentially.
Oh, okay, yeah, essentially. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay, I agree with you. I don't like pineapple on pizza. I think that's a bit weird. It's a bit watery. Very watery. Jaden Barber, after the weekend, do you think Matt Rao still eats grass? We said that he does, and he can eat as much grass as he wants. He can eat a big old bowl of grass. Poll 26, Dusty chose the best option, going to Kittens with Ollie. That's the one I said. Instead of heading to the Gold Coast. Great, cool. Woodluck, is DDF cursed? Sam down, Ollie goes down this weekend. Yes, it is cursed. We know it is. We know this show is cursed. We can't bring anyone in until everyone's to full health.
Or do we bring in a player from every team that Carlton is about to play that weekend?
We should bring in like the whole Collingwood team or something.
Yeah. Go into.
You reckon that when we play, like when we play, yeah, when that Carlton Collingwood game is on, we invite every Collingwood player in here just to hang out.
Or we do the show at the RIA Centre.
Yeah, or you could do a spell on them.
I could do a spell
Expelliarmus.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I'll work on that. Well, I think you do.
Yeah.
You tried to fix a broken arm with Expelliarmus last week, mate. It's not how that
I did try
works.
To fix a broken arm. Okay, well, that's what we've got time for. We're going to be back on Wednesday, guys. So we're moving the shows. We're going to do Mondays from now on. So you get the emotion, the weekend, the passion. And then we're going to give you a Wednesday because we have a lot of Thursday games this year that we need to get ahead of, guys. So we will speak to you soon. Go Blues. The lid's off. It remains off. And we'll see you on Wednesday.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.